Now, we move into the second reading. Now, you know, this is going to take a tack of its own, and the gospel then will develop, or the gospel has been prepared for, by the text from Deuteronomy. But this one is different now. And this is 1 Corinthians. Now, chapter 7. Chapter 7 is a chapter about marriage and virginity. And they had many interesting... Some people, a young man and a young woman, would commit themselves to one another, but to retain their virginity. In that culture, a woman, single, her parents die, her brothers and sisters are married, and there's this girl floating around, terribly vulnerable in that, you know, culture. So a man will commit himself to her, and they will remain celibate and chaste, and that's what's called a virgo sub introducta, you know. Hardly ever done anymore. One of the reasons why single women can walk around wherever they want and not be harassed most of the time, especially if they stay out of neighborhoods where you could be harassed. He's going to say, and I have a translation here by Father Norbert Baumert, which is very good. It's a little bit different than the take in the normal translation, which is what we would expect in a liturgy, because this other one is still under test, you know. But I think he's quite right. All right, now he goes, I should like you to be free of anxieties. The word there, you see, merimna in Greek means anxious care in the parable of the seed. It's the cares of this world, the merimnata, that choke out the plant. So that's the word, you see. I would like you to... I want you to be without merimna. And he goes on to say then, an unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Now, that's true. But it's not just his unmarried state. There has to be more than that. Because there are lots of unmarried men who don't give a darn about the Lord. There's something else. And the something else is love. Love for the Lord. Love for his call on your life. Love for what he wants you to do. You see? And then you concentrate on the Lord. You see, it can't be, and I think I said this once before, I used to tell my students this, you know, I pick up a book by a friend of mine, and I read the preface, I want to thank my lovely wife, Joan, for having read all the proofs and done the index. And I say, but I should have got married. I mean, I'd have somebody to read the proofs and do the index, you see? But you see, it's not to be free, is to be concentrated. And there's a difference. So nothing matters but the Lord and his will, and I can keep it that way. But if my vocation is marriage, I have another way to sanctity. I mean, it's not... But the key, and if you have never read this, I hope you can get a look at this. This is by Father Bandiero, Conte la Mesa. It's called Virginity. And it's a beautiful book. And there he puts a strong accent. The subtitle is A Positive Approach to Celibacy for the Sake of the Kingdom of Heaven. Now, that doesn't mean Paul will use these kind of words, you see. But, you see, the one who is married has a care for the things of this world, how he may please his wife. and he is pulled apart among the cares of the world. What are you supposed to be? You can't go out and get a job and work and come home, care for your wife and your children, mow the lawn on Saturday. I mean, you can't do all that. Or put it the other way around, you have to do all that to be a married man. That's your vocation. So it isn't to be worryless or workless that a person is called to be celibate. It's a question of love. It's a question of love. I want to love the biggest and the best and the most beautiful reality in all of reality, you, God. And I want to do it, I want to specialize. And then, from that, I can serve other people. And if I do it well, I could get to be a saint. But so can the married people. So you see, it's this... So he's... I'm trying to create that for you, because sometimes it sounds like... And that's why I tell my students, I should have married Joan. Then she could be reading my proofs and making the indices. My life would be much easier. It wouldn't be, I'm only joking, but you see what I mean. It's not a question of efficiency, it's a question of concentration. Is that clear? Everybody understand that? I hope. It's key. The whole celibate vocation won't make any sense if you're in it or married without that grasp, you see. In heaven, we're all going to be celibate. Overall, going to be married, any way you want to look at it. But you see, there, the whole energy of our being is caught up into the divine life and concentrated on God. Now, married people will still be married. That commitment lasts. That's why we say until death do us part. But if you've been living 50 years with somebody, who you are when you get to heaven is profoundly modified by those 50 years with so-and-so. It's not over in that sense, you see. Nor does the Lord will it to be over. Now that you're in heaven, you can forget about your husband. No, you can't. You see what I'm trying to say? But the single-mindedness, the concentration, is a grace. Nobody can say, I think I'll do this. It's a charism. It's a grace. And what it does is show forth the state of the church forever. I forgot now, I think it was Harnack, a great German scholar, quite somewhat rationalistic, but a very good scholar, said, you know, the church has need of celibacy for many reasons, one of which is to prove that marriage is a vocation and not a natural necessity. You don't have to get married. If you get married, it's because you're being called to marriage, and you should get married. And how do you know that? Because the celibates, they don't get married, and they're happy. So you don't have to get married to be happy. But if you're called to, it's not a natural necessity. Very wise, don't you see? So married people and celibate people need one another to show forth the abundance of life. The married people show forth the love between Christ and the church. The celibate people show forth the love between every creature and God. It's a polarizing charism. It's meant to be. Now, you might get more work done. I don't know about that, but you probably could. But that's not the point. The point is not free for just to be free. It's free to be for the Lord, who might not leave you very free, because it's a prophetic vocation. You have to proclaim the word one way or another, and you will be caught up in it. Even one of the old rabbis, I forgot to check his name, he said, I'm not going to get married. I'm giving my life to the Torah. Let the rest of the world continue to populate the globe. I'm just going to be married to the Torah. And that was the Messiah is going to come from us. You've got to get married and have children. It might be one of your kids. No, I'm just going to study the Torah. the unmarried man has a care for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but the one who is married has a care for the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and he should. That's his job now. She is going to see Christ through his love, and he is going to see Christ through her love. How he may prove his part. And he is pulled apart. But the pull apart isn't between the Lord and the wife. It's between the vocation as a Christian and getting a job and driving to work, and that's the pull apart, you see? Now, celibates, if they don't watch it, can get just as pulled apart by blowing it. And the only safeguard is 1 hour's prayer a day, minimal. That's minimal equipment in a survival kit for a celibate. Or he gets pulled apart, fix the furnace, help Mrs. Murphy, do all that, and it will be busy. But you get so busy, you forget why you're celibate. You see? The unmarried woman and the virgin has a care for the things of the Lord, that she be holy in body and spirit. But the one who has married has a care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And that makes sense. But it's a different way of loving. So what he's talking about here is just this other way. What I say now is for your benefit. Not that I may put a noose around you, but rather for a seemly devotion to the Lord in an undistracted manner, and now you got the key. It's, you see, it's love. I want to pay attention to the Lord. I want to be like the woman, the person in the Psalms. I watch the hand of my master, whatever he wants, I'm ready to do, because I love him. And I love him this way. But it's a challenge. And it's a risk. You know, if I'm going to fool around and play golf, I'm not saying everybody plays golf is going to hell. But I mean, like, if I play 3 or 4 times a week, and I'm, you know, I should have got married. Raise kids. You know, make a woman happy. I hope, if I married her. But, you see, to be celibate so I can play golf 3 times a week, that's not the point. You see? It's to be so concentrated on the Lord through love that it shines through our eyes, our hands, our body, for the good of all. Now, the occupational hazard is selfishness. That's the occupational hazard. The other way the occupational hazard is worldliness. How are we going to pay all these bills? How are we going to do this? Well, why don't you do this and invest in this and all that stuff? That's the occupational hazard of marriage. The occupational hazard of celibacy is selfishness. You know, I don't have to worry about kids. If that's the only reason, I'm a disaster. I'm supposed to be able to worry about everybody in the Lord. And so you see, this text, and of course, many of these people are not going to be priests, they're just going to be celibate. And that's where you see, my being has been polarized by God. I just want to pay attention to God and get ready for heaven. And that's what's going to be done there. So that's that text in the middle. And we're going to go back now to look at the power of the Word. Amen.